Well, amen. Appreciate that song. You take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 11. And we were here this morning and we'll be here tonight as well. And I know that probably seemed like a strange Thanksgiving message this morning, didn't it? That's all right. I'm going to do what the Lord lays on my heart no matter what. Amen.
Amen.
Luke 11, verse number 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And I want to stop reading right there. And trust that the Lord will help us with these verses tonight. And I usually on a Sunday, prior to a Thanksgiving, if I have an opportunity, if I've ever had an opportunity to preach prior to a Thanksgiving, it's good to preach a message along the lines of Thanksgiving. And there'll be a lot of people preach on about a Thanksgiving day, no doubt, today, in a morning or a night service. But I want to change that up just a little bit tonight. And I want to preach on Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day. Hopefully we can draw a little bit out of that message tonight and the verses that we'll be using. We'll make it to verse number 13 tonight. And trust that the Lord, when we get there, will have our hearts lined up to receive the message. So you pray with me as I pray. If you'll bow your head. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for the good singing that we've already heard that stirred our hearts. And Lord, open up the way for the Word of God. And Lord, this is the most important time of the service, is the hearing of the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God. But Father, it's not from a man. I pray that the Spirit of God would burden our hearts tonight. I pray, Father, that the Spirit of the Lord would help us, encourage us. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would touch our hearts tonight. Each one has different needs that they have on their heart. And Father, I pray that this message, Lord, the primary message tonight, Lord, is the Spirit of God would reveal it to our hearts. And Lord, help us now to humble ourselves before you, submit to the Word of God, Lord, and see ourselves for who we are, and Lord, for who you are. Father, we'll praise you for what you'll do tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Four things real quick leading up to our message tonight that I want us to get to. But let's start sort of at the beginning. We'll start in verse number 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? Now this is a particular parable that Jesus has set forth in the Word of God. It's regarding a friend that comes to another friend at midnight. First of all, we see the time. And he shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And the time particular here, and I believe that there are things that we can draw from verse number 5 through verse number 8. And I'll probably show you something out of these verses in a little bit different way than maybe you have heard in the past from these particular verses. Although I don't believe that the preaching and the fundamental principles from these verses is a wrong thing. The time that you see here that this man has come, no doubt men come to God in strange hours. No doubt men come to God at strange times. And the talk that's made here in verse number 6, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Not only we see the time and the talk, but the trouble here. As he comes to his friend, because he has a friend that has went on a long journey, and he's gotten finally to his home. All the markets are closed because it's late hour in the night. He has nowhere to get any bread, so he goes to his neighbor or his friend's house. And he begins to knock on the door and ask this man for some bread so that he can feed this man that is famished from his long journey. And this man, the Bible says, is troubled at this man's knocking. You have to understand these Jewish homes during those times were one-room homes. It had 2 levels. The top to upper level, it stepped up about like I'm on this platform here. On the top level or on the upper level, you'll find the old wood-burning stove. And around that wood-burning stove on the lower level there, everyone would huddle up and sort of sleep together for warmth. And so as the door is locked down tight, you have to understand as well, for sake of thieves, people back then would bring their livestock and everything that they had inside their home. And so you got a one-room home, Seth, with a bunch of kids gathered around an old stove. You got goats and sheep and whatever else, chickens and whatever else you got. You got gathered around here and laying down. And it's late in the hour. All the doors are locked. Everything's the windows are fastened. Now, during the daytime, their livestock is out in front there. The doors are open. It's kept open. The windows are open all during the day. But at night, when it's locked down tight. It's locked down and shut tight. And so it was trouble. It was bothersome. Number one, I risk waking up the baby, amen, which could be pretty detrimental to his wife. I risk waking up the baby. I risk waking up the children, getting up and unlocking the door, and it's all a big hassle. Not only that, I'm stirring the animals around. I mean, it's a pretty big hassle here. And so the man is troubled. And finally, after much knocking, I got to have some bread. I got to have some bread. I got to have some bread. He opens and he says, fine, here's you some bread. He's troubled, you see. His soul is vexed from this man asking and asking and asking. And obviously in verse number 8 it says, and I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, though because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, the wrong in these verses is stopping with verse number 8. And because verse number 8 is to continue on into verse number 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. You can't separate these and preach these in 2 different ways. Although people have done it and there's nothing wrong. This shows the importunity of man in coming to God and asking of the Lord and having faith, asking tomorrow, asking the next day. But it doesn't teach that you can trouble God into doing something that's not according to His will, you see. Everybody understand that, right? I mean, it's almost been preached that way before. That if you continue to knock and you continue to ask God, that you'll worry Him to death and He'll finally give in and give you what you need or what you want. Amen. But that's not the case at all. And so we can't stop at verse number 8. We have to continue. We not only see the parable here in verse 5 through 8, but we find that the promise in verse 9. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Oh, how I love these three petitions that set forth in verse number 9. That's a precious promise from the Word of God, children, that God will answer your prayer, amen, according to His will, according to the things of God. Now, understand, we'll see that in a minute. But we find the threefold petition, ask, seek, and knock. We ask for what we wish. We seek for what we miss. And we knock for that we feel ourselves shut out from. Is that correct or not correct? And in these three different petitions, we'll find ourselves petitioning God on a daily basis. If there are things that we need, and we know that we need them, understand that God is faithful to supply our needs, our spiritual needs, according to His riches in glory. That discouraging time that you're going through, discouraging time that a saint's going through, God wants to meet that need. God wants to come to that man or come to that woman, and He wants to console them in that temptation. We know what we need, so we come to God. That man that needs forgiveness, and he needs to be washed from his iniquity, I'm glad that he can ask. And the Bible says, he that asketh, receiveth. Thank the Lord for that line in number 10, amen. And to him that seeketh, findeth. And I would ask us tonight, what is it that we miss? And obviously we're missing something to seek for something. Isn't that right? I mean, we're not going to go looking for something if we don't miss it. I mean, I know, you know, around the house, I don't go looking for something until I need it. Isn't that right? And until we miss something, we're not seeking anything. Let me tell you, a lot of times, Courtney, a lot of people don't understand that they'll never seek for the things, the spiritual things of God, until they miss them. But the promise is that when that man begins to miss those things, when that man begins to miss and to feel like he has lost something of the things of God in his life, it's only then that he will begin to seek them out in a very personal way between him and the Lord. But until that happens, he'll not seek after those things. Until he feels like he's missing something, he'll not go to God. But here is, again, in verse number 10, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. There's the precious promise from the Word of God. When you need, and you know what you need, and you miss it, and you feel like you've lost something. I've done that. How many's ever done that? How many's ever went a few weeks without really getting alone with the Lord? Nobody in here but me. I mean, how many of us has ever felt like we couldn't shed a tear? Like we couldn't get in the presence of God like we used to? I mean, has any of us ever felt that way? Let me tell you, when you start to feel that way, that's when you really miss that fellowship with God. And oh, God promises here, if you miss it, if you feel like you've lost it, if you seek, you'll find when it comes to the things of God. I think about not only we find this asking for what we wish, seeking for what we miss, but then knocking for what we feel like we've been shut out from. And that's the reason that a man does knock, because he won't sin. And as we think about knocking, when we feel like we've been shut away from something for so long, we begin to knock and try to inquire about what we've been shut out from. And the answer to this, the promise to this, is if you'll knock, you'll find. If you knock, it'll be open unto you. And you can have that which you have been missing for so long. You can have that which you know that you've been needing for so long. You ask for it, you seek it, and then you begin to knock, and the door is open, and you finally have that you've been missing for so long. Hey, what a precious promise that is from the Word of God, that we can get along with the Lord and have that for what we don't have today. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to you, unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Not only we find the parable and the promise, but the position. The position is that you are a son of God. I mean, you're a daughter of God. There's nothing that can be withheld from you. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. Hey, there's nothing. There's no spiritual things. The things of God, the hunger, the presence of the Lord. Those things, if you thirst after those things, there's nothing that God will not hold back from you, because God wants to bless you. You're His daughter. You're His son. You're one of His own. Amen. As we talked about that this morning, you're no longer the pig. Amen. You've been transformed into a new creature in Christ Jesus. And because of that, we are transformed into the image of the dear Son of God, and we have a Heavenly Father that wants to answer prayer. As we think about this particular thought, I would ask us to think about this in light of the verses that we have read in verse number 5 through verse number 8. When we think about this parable, a parable is a truth that's laid beside another to teach us a spiritual lesson. Isn't that right? And as we think about this laid beside another, it could be in comparison or it can be in contrast. A parable is usually viewed in those two ways. Now, I believe the mishap in verse number 5 to verse number 8 on many occasions is interpreting this as a comparison of a parable instead of a contrast to a parable. Instead of looking at this as to say that we are looking at it as the friend, as the Lord, and we are to knock and knock and knock, and if we continue to knock, we'll get God's attention and He'll see our persistence. And thank God for persistence. I believe that'll preach right there all day long. I don't have any problem with that. But here's the thing, Courtney. Verse number 8 goes right into verse number 9. And what He's saying is, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. He said in verse number 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. What he's saying right here is, in contrast to this, I'm not like that friend. Y'all see that tonight? Amen. That's pretty good, whether you like it or not. He said, I'm not like this man. I'm way better than this man. This man, you got to knock and knock and knock and knock. And finally, because he was troubled, he said, fine then. You're going to wake the kids anyway, so I might as well go to the door. You're going to wake the babies and stir the goats and the chickens, so I might as well unlock the door, give him what he wants, and get him out of my hair. And here's what God is saying. I'm nothing like this man. Jesus is saying, I am far better than this. Because you are my children, and I am your father, and I give as a man would have a child. Now understand this, is his friend, you see. But you know what, Miss Lisa, there's a big difference in a friend and a child. Isn't that right? I mean, I don't know, some of you might knock at midnight. I hope that I would get up if it was that much trouble. I don't know if I would. But let me tell you this, if one of my children was knocking at midnight, I promise you I'd be at that door in a heartbeat. There are some things, and I hate to say this, and in my human nature, I guess I'm just partisan to my children. But I am, amen. And if my children needed something at midnight or at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and they were knocking on the door, and I had to crawl over snakes and walk over spiders, amen, I don't like either one of those, and drink poison to get there, I would get there for my children. And here's what God is saying. I'm nothing like this man that when his friend come and he knocked and knocked and knocked and just said, out of trouble of my soul, I'm going to get up and try to do something for him. Hey, Jesus is saying, I'm way different than that. You ask and you'll receive. Amen. You seek and you'll find. You knock and it'll be open unto you because I love you and you are my children. You're my son. You're my daughter. And we have a special relationship. Hey, and that's the reason he goes to this position. And he says, if a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, would he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? I don't know anybody would treat their children like that. And God's saying, you're evil and you don't even treat your children that way. How much more do you think that I would treat you in a good fashion and give to you the good things of God that you need and so long desire and have been missing for weeks and months on end? And for some people, I hate to say it, but even for years, they have missed the presence of God, missed the fellowship of God. And I dare say, Brother Chad, they probably are saved. But here God is, the promise is if you'll come because you are my son, because you are my daughter, I will give to you freely and you can come at any time. As we think about this, the position is I am a son and he is my father. Not only we see that, but the present in verse number 13. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give? Now watch this. This is kind of funny. Not funny, but Luke chapter 11 says the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people want to take this chapter out of the Bible and keep Matthew chapter 7, amen. You see, Matthew 7 says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What man is there of you whom his son ask bread, would he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now, they love to keep, Brother James, Matthew chapter 7 and take this one out. Amen. Because in Matthew 7, we can put anything we want in there for good things. Why, if I need a motorcycle or a car or a house or I need all these things. And don't get me wrong. God wants to give you good material things. I don't think there's anybody in here that the Lord wouldn't want to bless you. And He does bless us. I believe everybody in here say, I've been pretty blessed because you've all drove up in vehicles tonight. Most of you, except you that rode, amen. I mean, we've been pretty blessed by God. I wouldn't say that the Lord doesn't want us to have things, but what I do want you to notice here is that these two are interchangeable because of the way that they're mentioned. And so the good things in Matthew 7 is the Holy Spirit in Luke 11. And so as we think about this particular present that God is presenting to men, when He says good gifts, He's speaking about good things of the Holy Spirit, you see. Good things of the Spirit of God. Courtney, these are spiritual things. These are things that we need and we've missed and we long for and we've been knocking and hoping to come in and not be shut out from the presence of God, the work of God, the power of God, the things that we know that we need here on this earth to get through a situation or go forward in a ministry. Those things, the tools necessary to get the job done, to operate this local church, I promise you, God will not withhold those things from us. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And what he's talking about this present, is there anything that I wouldn't withhold while the Father would give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And I know, no doubt, those that are saved can have the Holy Spirit living and abiding within them. But he's concerning those that are saved here tonight. Is there anything, I mean, of a spiritual manner that you know that you need in your life? That you know that you have been missing in your life? You don't have to come and knock and knock and knock and knock because God said, I'm not that man. You see? I'm not that one. You don't have to try to trouble me. You don't have to try to try to come and come and come and come. All you got to do is ask and it'll be given you. If you're seeking, you can find. If you're knocking, God is opening, you see. For the things that are spiritual, because it's the Holy Spirit, the things of the Spirit of God, He'll begin to work in your life what you need to get you down the road. What you need for your family, what you need for your personal life, what you need tomorrow. You see, when you wake up, you're going to be dealing with different things than Brother Shoemaker's dealing with. You're going to be dealing with different things than your husband or your wife is dealing with. I'll be dealing with different things than you're dealing with. We'll be battling different things. Hey, no doubt this spiritual battle is a pretty big one with a lot of diverse situations. But God is not too busy to answer each and every one that we have. As I think about Thanksgiving coming up, hey, one big thing we should be thankful for is that God is a God of giving. And He wants to give unto us liberally as we have need. He won't want to keep anything from you that you need spiritually in your life. He says He don't want to withhold anything from you. Even He wants to just give and give and give and make sure that you have got what you need to get you through. As we think about this promise in the Word of God, how much more, He says, shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? How much more? You'd probably give some good gifts to your children, to your family. This Christmas, this Thanksgiving, we'd probably go out of our way, right? To try to help somebody if they needed something, hopefully during the year. But during the holiday season, you think of it a little bit more. I mean, we would try to go out of our way to help somebody and do something for someone. How much more if you're as evil? You say, I'm not evil, Brother Shoemaker. The Bible says you are. If you then being evil, if you know how to go out of your way to do something good, I mean, how much more would God want to do for you if you just come to Him and ask? How much are you withholding from yourself, I would ask tonight? Because, Courtney, that's exactly what we're doing. When we don't take these verses that we've read tonight, and we don't apply them to what we know that we need, what we know that we've been missing, we're withholding something from ourselves. Because God's not withholding anything. When the Bible speaks over there in Malachi, the chat about shutting up the windows of heaven, it's all because they've robbed God, right? They've shut themselves out. And guess what? We do the same things. We rob ourselves of blessings by simply not coming to God and asking Him for what you need. Now, I know, you know, when we talked about asking or prayer in the whole month of August, we dealt with the subject of praying, the prayer chamber. We dealt more with that personal prayer, personal fellowship. But this thing of asking and receiving is just like coming to someone that's here and saying, I need this. I mean, people can get so spiritual. I mean, I love weeping in the prayer time and getting close to God. But don't forget to ask Him for what you need. And don't think that it's something that's going to just bother God or something that's too big or too small for the Lord, because God listens to everything. And if it's something that you need, bring it to the Lord. But especially those things in your life where you know, I've messed up. I'm doing this wrong. How many of us can think of something right now in our life? Let's raise our hand and say, I know something right now, and I've got it in my mind that I know I'm doing wrong, or something I know I need to get better or do right in my life. I think we all have something. And we bring that to the Lord. The Lord wants us to bring that before Him and say, Lord, I need some help with this. God, I need from You. Hey, God wants to give to you freely. He wants to give, but He's going to have to have you ask Him. You're going to have to come to Him. Thank you, Lord. After we could say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me. Thank you, Lord, for giving of yourself. He gives the Holy Spirit. That's the power of God, the presence of God, the eagerness. Hey, the want to and the desire to do something for the Lord. All these things are given to you right here. All He's saying is ask. And you'll have. Seek. That's an earnest perseverance to seek out. Seek it and you'll find it. I think people are just coming up short because they're not really missing the things of God in their life. I mean, think about that, and just for a couple of minutes and we're done. But I would ask us tonight, are you missing anything? What are you missing? Can you not think of anything in your life that you could say, man, I wish I had this back, because I remember years ago it used to be a lot better. I can honestly say I can think of some times when I know in my life my prayer time was a lot better. I know in my life that there was that time whenever my desire for souls was more. And those are things that I should miss. But you know what, Miss Lisa? Sometimes I go through life and it gets to a place where I get colder on the Lord. And I just don't miss those things like I used to. It's not that I don't maybe want to do them or that I don't go to church and I don't read my Bible and I don't pray. It's that the desire for that, when I'm not doing that, that I know I'm missing in my life. I know there's something not right. It gets to a place, Courtney, to where more and more I don't miss those things like I used to miss them whenever they're not there. And the desire for those things becomes less and less. I would ask us tonight, as we think about this, what are you missing in your life? What are you not seeking out now that you used to have a desire to seek for? You used to try to find that in your life, in your prayer time, alone with the Lord. You had some things you would deal with Him and you would try to seek out and you would try to get right. But the desire to get right and to do right and to fall in line right and be obedient gets less and less and less. You see, the promise here is if you seek, you will find. If you ask, you will receive. For the things that you wish for, the things that you desire or need. If you knock because you feel like you've been shut away from something, the door will be opened unto you. But 99% of our Christians never knock. You see, a lot of times we just want to apply this verse to getting that rent or getting that need met material-wise. This isn't what he was talking about at all. And yet somehow in our churches, people fail to knock. The desire to seek something out from the Lord that they've been missing slips them. Our churches have become colder because we have failed to seek out the spiritual things of God. The Bible says, seek ye first. Everybody knows that verse. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. The things that we know, the things that we need in this life. No doubt those things are provided. But the seeking out the kingdom of God and His righteousness is something that men have a problem with in our churches today. Our families have problems with that in our churches today. Hey, God wants to give freely of the things of God to you and to your family, to you personally.
He wants to give those things to you. But when will we get a desire? When are we going to be seeking out those things? And I would ask us tonight, hey, allow the Spirit of God to do something in your heart, to put something in your heart to seek out those things that you have been missing for so long.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Court, you come. Maybe play through a little verse invitation. And I know the message wasn't long tonight, but I said what God put on my heart to say. You can have a pretty good Thanksgiving if you pick this message up tonight and allow God to do something for you. Father, we pray that You'd help us now tonight. I pray that You bless this invitation time. Pray these altars to have drawing power, Lord. I pray the Spirit of God would work on our hearts. And I know, Father, it's not been a shouted out message, but I'm so glad that You work in the silent, Lord. God, in the depths of our heart, I know that You've been speaking to some tonight. And I pray, Father, that You would deal with these hearts and help us, Lord, to come before You. God, seeking that we've been missing. God, longing for that we felt shut out from spiritually in our lives. And Lord, know that You're willing to give those things freely to us. Help these to come to You. Ask You for these things and seek them out in their hearts. Lord, we'll thank You for all that You do now. In Jesus' name, amen. As she plays, You come.